So can you start with your name, the year you graduated, what you majored and minored in?
Sure. Hey, everybody. My name's Tori Chase, and I graduated in 2010, but I was a 4.5 year student, so I got one of my degrees at the end of 2010 as well. I was a general biology. I wonder if they still call it general biology. General biology major and a comprehensive science education major, and my minors were chemistry and leadership.
What is your current job and what does a day look like in your job and what inspired you to become a marine environmental scientist?
Absolutely. So I'm a visiting assistant professor at Skidmore College in environmental studies and sciences. And I feel like I'm in disguise because I'm a secret biologist, but I'm in this environmental science department up in upstate New York. And this position is fantastic. It's all the mixture of all the best parts of being a marine biologist or a coral reef scientist, which is kind of my specialty. So coral reef scientist, science communication, mentoring, laboratory work, field work, and more. Those are all the things that I do kind of on a daily basis. Right now I'm teaching a lot of different classes. One of them is marine ecology and conservation, which is has a really heavy focus on coral reef environments, which is really topical. And I try to label myself as a marine environmental educator because I try to integrate that into all these different classes that I have. There's not really a really typical day for me. It's all about variation, which is perfect because I like to study variation in ecological contexts, which is fantastic. Like variation on coral reefs or with fishes or things like that, things that I like to study. But some days I'm a professor, running around the labs and in classrooms, championing things like talking about coral reefs or horseshoe crabs or how octopi mate or things like that, and engage with students through lectures and movies and outreach activities, and kind of do some real world scenarios and bring them kind of into the classroom. And other days I'm in the field. So, for example, in a couple of weeks I'm about to go to the Florida Keys to work at a few different restoration organizations up and down the Florida Keys, where I'll be doing some research on fish and turf algae and sediments, figuring out how some of these anthropogenic stresses are impacting these stored coral reef areas, which are really important because coral restoration and habitat restoration in general is becoming super important in the world we live, which is pretty cool. When I was at Elon, I thought I was going to be a terrestrial biologist. I thought I was going to work with elephants. I thought I was going to work in the rainforest after going to see Dr. Hanel, or going to Peru with Dr. Hanel. I thought I was absolutely going to be a terrestrial biologist. But then after college, I got my scuba certification. And I think my parents had like slowly inceptioned me over the course of my life by taking me sailing and taking me to the beach all the time. And then when I went scuba diving, I never looked back. And when I went to Australia, that was what kind of did it in for me. But when I was little, my parents used to read me The Little Mermaid and 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And there was this really cool video game on the computer that I had that was called Treasure Cove, in which you could be a scuba diver and try to find treasure underwater and solve puzzles. It was one of the very first computer games. And yeah, those are some of the things that made me want to become a marine scientist, which is pretty cool.
That's really cool. And there's a lot of video games now that have been doing that. The Nintendo just released a new game called Luminous where you can like explore the deep sea and like catalog species. And have you looked into the newest species being discovered? Like the scientists that unveiled in the deeper part of the ocean, all the species coming up. Have there been rumblings of that?
Absolutely. I've been teaching about that in class. What happened last year is I remember that researchers went to a hydrothermal vent and they found something like 900 new undiscovered species within the size of a tennis court right underwater. One of the most incredible things. One of the things that I did in Australia is that we recorded where species were on the Great Barrier Reef, and we found that several of them were moving to different locations. And we'd say, oh, you're not supposed to be there, and trying to figure out why, which was pretty fascinating.
And there's a lot of issues that come within like coral extinction right now and coral populations. Can you touch a little bit on that too?
Yeah, corals are under threat. It is not a great time to be a coral or coral reef right now, especially in the Florida Keys and other areas around the world. Yeah, so one of the activities I used to have my students do in class is to look at the stressors that are impacting the ocean, things like, overfishing or ocean acidification or nutrients. And then when I tell them to put something like ocean warming or climate change on there, it just dominates the entire graph. Many of you have probably heard about coral bleaching events that are happening. Actually, NOAA just made a huge alert saying that the fourth ever global bleaching event has happened on the face of the earth, which is incredible. And it's not just that corals are threatened by temperature, they're threatened by everything else. 50% of all coral reefs that are coastal are being impacted by sediments and heavy metals and acidification and humans going on the reef and stopping on corals and everything like that. It's a tough day to be a coral. But scientists are doing some incredible work where they're separating the sperms and the egg and they're cryofreezing them, which is pretty incredible. That sounds like future technology. You know, cryofreezing is what people told me happened to Walt Disney's body when he died. And this is like the thing we're doing for corals. We're also creating super corals, which is pretty fascinating. I know some people who have been studying super corals. It's not like Superman or superhero. They're trying to make them hardy and resistant and sort of buff them up, which is kind of cool. Sometimes I think about super corals as from the scene of Deadpool, where they're trying to mutate them and they're trying to stress response them to make them hardier. And that's what they do with corals. They try to, you know, introduce them to heavy amounts of temperature or sediments or ocean acidification, but in small doses to try to make them buffer. And they're going to put the corals back out on the reef. But yeah, there's these huge plans to save corals. And then coral restoration is being pretty cool, where they're growing corals, especially multiple species and genes of corals to prevent the bottleneck effects. And then put them back on the reef to make them more healthy, which is incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing to see how scientists evolve as the world does, and like the things that we develop to combat extinction. With that being said, like what direction do you feel your field is going in, and what do you think it needs, and what's most rewarding about working in your field?
Yeah, I like those questions. Those are fantastic. Let's think of more positive stuff, right? Not doom and gloom. I'm sure you heard about that 1,000 times in your classes. Students are crying about it. Okay, where do I think my field is going? So it's restoration. I've already touched on this. You know, in the Anthropocene, I feel like we're in this all hands on deck moment where everybody's research now needs to be have some sort of application or be conservation focused, where we can, you know, really conserve reefs from a holistic process. We can no longer conserve the ocean or coral reefs by just designating a patch of area where no one's going to fish. We have to protect the land next to it as well, because that's where a lot of the pollution or microplastics or stressors that are coming from, right? So I really think it's thinking about shifting scientific priorities in terms of how are we going to save species or conserve them. And the second half of that is that, you know, I teach a course called Marine Ecology and Conservation. And I tell students it's a class about corals and fishes and all those other things, but the conservation half, it's really about humans. It's about changing humans' behavior and figuring out how to protect these species. That, you know, a lot of times when we protect corals and species, it's not about what the coral should do, it's about how we stop messing up the ocean. Yeah, so the direction I think the field is going is restoration or conservation or growing corals or growing different organisms and planting them to give them the best success as possible, but not just growing them so that they survive now, growing them so that survive in future conditions. What do I find most rewarding? Let's see here. I get to scuba dive. I get to go underwater, which is pretty incredible, but that's not the most rewarding part of my job. So it's a marine environmental scientist. I have many different hats that I wear, including, you know, coral ecologists or underwater sediment vacuumer. That's one of the research that I'm doing, or fish stalker. I like to follow fish around, or coral counter. But I really love studying coral reefs because it's just this incredible ecosystem that has, you know, ecosystem services up the wazoo, just the packed, jam-packed biodiversity ecosystem services. Every person on the planet probably depends on coral reefs for a variety of the ecosystem services. You know, 25% of the entire planet or 1 billion people to rely on the protein from coral reefs in terms of fishes. It's this incredible functional habitat, and it's one that's also severely threatened. So it has this incredible dichotomy, and it gives the research that we do in the conservation and education this really profound meeting with applications for change, which I really like. One of the other things I really love about working in this field is working with the people who work on coral reefs, working with the practitioners, working with the local communities, because they are the ones that are going to make the biggest change. And they're the ones that are the most passionate about their coral reefs, especially their restoration efforts. So a lot of when I do my research, when I talk to my students about doing research, the first thing that we do is, what do the people need on these islands or on these communities or in the Florida Keys? And how can you make your research work for them? And working in sort of this relationship with them, trying to figure out how you can apply the science to do the most good and impact the most people. And I think that's one of the things that I really like about working in this field. So I like really like students. I'm a professor, aren't I? I love working with students in the lab. I like students working with students in lectures. I love bringing dynamic, engaged lectures. I love learning all my students' names in the first 2 weeks of class and saying their names and making them have these light bulb moments and have them have maybe transformative teaching experiences, which is incredible. And being really silly. I love having being silly and having jokes and having students sort of resonate with the material better.
And you've taught like an expansion of ages of students, right? You've taught, younger elementary slash high school and also in college. And like,
Absolutely.
do you feel like you see it, even though learning is different at each stage, do you feel like when it comes to science, you see a similarity with them, like, all of your students?
They're totally different, but they're all the same, right? They're so in eager and interested in different things. But you're right. At Elon, because I was a biology major, an education major as well, I had placements in elementary schools and fifth grade and middle school and then a lot in high school. And then when I was in graduate school, I was mentoring a lot of people of similar ages as me. And then last 3 years at Villanova, I was undergraduates, and now it's undergraduates as well, which is fantastic. I'm lucky to be a marine scientist. People love the ocean. They think coral reefs are super sexy. They're interested in it and they want to know more about it, which is incredible. And the best experiences are when we get to go to reefs or get to go to the aquarium or things like that. You see the same switch that is happening in people's heads if they're 5 years old or 45 years old in terms of, wow, this is incredible. How does this work? How can we save it? Which I really like.
And you talked about diving too. Do you have like a favorite diving story or like a species that you ran into that you were really excited about?
So I started diving pretty late in my career. I learned how to dive my senior year of college at Elon, and I learned in Maine. And if you don't want to learn how to dive and don't want to become a diver, I suggest you learn how to dive in Maine because it's boring. It's freezing cold in the summer. All there are rocks and seaweed and maybe a few lobsters, and it's I didn't understand why people do.
And there's horse flies everywhere.
Yes, it's miserable. And then I went to one of my friends from Elon, who was an art major, went to Hawaii and did Teach for America. And I went to go visit him. And he was quite busy because he's a teacher. So I said, okay, for a few days, I'll get my advanced certification. And I scuba dived around Hawaii and saw the reefs and saw the shipwrecks. And I said, oh my God, well, this is totally different. I love this. And then I moved to Australia a year later. And I had to call my parents 2 months after I moved to Australia and beg them to send me more money. Because I spent it all on scuba diving. They said, you went there, you're supposed to buy everything for the house and books and stuff. And I was like, it's gone. It's all gone. I'm addicted to scuba diving. They're like, well, there could be worse things. And I was like, please wire me more money. But so I've got, I don't know, maybe 400 dives or something like that now. And a lot of the dives I do are for work. And my head is in a coral or focusing on one particular fish and sort of ignoring everything else. But the shipwrecks dives in Hawaii, where you get to go in the shipwreck and feel exactly like James Bond, are pretty incredible. Really, really cool. And on the Great Barrier Reef, I mean, I don't know, every time I see a Nemo fish, I go bonkers. Like, who doesn't? It's incredible, right? I lived in Australia for 8 years and I took classes with some of the most world-renowned professors of marine science in the entire world. And not once did I ever hear them call them an anemone fish. It was just Nemo forever. Which I thought was really good. But some other fun dives, night dives. Night dives are incredible. You feel like you're an astronaut in outer space, and you get a little glow stick on the back of your tank and in your hand. So you feel like you're kind of at a rave a little bit, but with your flashlight and glow stick, you're kind of like looking around and seeing how things everybody's sleeping, which is fun.
And you probably run into bioluminescence sometimes, right?
That's funny that we do run into bioluminescence. And if you remember, if maybe Dr. Vic talked to you about that, but my senior seminar project was on bioluminescence. And I got the idea one day when I was at the beach, my parents, the summer before, I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do my senior project on? I have no idea what I'm going to do. Am I going to become a terrestrial biologist? Whatever. And we went at night and we were walking on the shore and we were kicking the little bits of the water. And that's when the bioluminescence algae was there, which is incredible. So I did my whole senior project or senior seminar on bioluminescence. But yes, we've seen it underwater. There's an incredible amount of corals and fishes that have bioluminescence as well. And one dive I went on with my buddy who had one of those purple black lights, and it was pretty incredible to see some of the different colors as well as the bioluminescence of all that algae just plankton flying around you.
And getting on the topic of professors, do you feel like you had a professor at your time at Elon that impacted you the most, or like a couple of professors that you feel like really shaped you and like where you wanted to go with your career?
Good question. Although I will always wonder what happened to Dr. Hanel's figure, and he was an incredible professor and took me to Peru for an incredible time. He was definitely one of the tops, but the number one was Dr. Gallucci. And I took population biology lab with Dr. Gallucci. And she saw that I was interested and engaged and working well on my team. And at the end of the semester, she tapped me on the shoulder and said, I think you'd be good to TA. And she just believed in me, thought about it, and saw that I had some potential. And after that semester, I TA'd every single semester that I was at Elon. I think I TA'd seven different types of courses, spanning the different courses in biology as well as the physics department and astronomy. And she was fantastic. She also knew that I wanted to go into education and pushed me towards certain internships that were fantastic. I did one of my summer internships at the Natural Science Center of Greensboro. Yeah, she was fantastic. And I kept up with her for a few years after graduation, and she was just terrific. I really liked her. I liked the way that she thought about science. I liked her calm demeanor as well, and the questions she asked in terms of research and things like that.
And so you did you do research while you were at Elon?
I didn't. I was one of those students that was too busy and didn't do any research. I mean, other than, oh, I did, some horrible experiment about fertilizer and lettuce plants as her sophomore seminar and did a poster about it. But I was too busy doing my double major, double minor. It was all internships for me. I did an internship at the Natural Science Center of Greensboro one summer, which was fantastic. And I did an internship at the SECO Science Center, New Hampshire. That sort of played into my love of marine and aquatic biology. But no, I didn't get to do research. But that's probably much more prominent now with you two at Elon.
And you've bounced around to like a bunch of different states from what I'm hearing of just like you and your experience and also out of the country. And do you feel like you can feel a difference in studying science in each state? Or do you feel like it's mostly cohesive?
I think it's pretty different. When I was at Elon, I worked with a professor in the biology department who I don't remember what his name was in anymore, but I worked for the National Science Association of North Carolina, and we worked on creating informational materials in terms of science for elementary schools. But I think the way different states approach science and even think about different universities and different countries approach science and teach science, I think it's completely different, which I really liked because one of the pieces of advice I got when I was leaving Elon was figure out the type of science you want to do and go to the place that is the best for it. And when I was thinking about studying marine science, where better is there to go than the Great Barrier Reef, which is incredible. And actually, a funny story related to the different types of science and places of the world is that after Elon, I worked at Burlington High School, just down, or Walter Williams High School, just down the road in Burlington. And my friend Travis, who graduated the same year as me as a biology major, went to Australia and started doing his master's degree. And he whispered in my ear all year long, "You got to come. This is incredible. This is beyond your wildest dreams." And finally, he got to me and I went. So we had this little Elon reunion in Australia. And he stayed for 2 years and I stayed for eight, which is pretty incredible. And I felt really good about it because I was too busy as a biology and education major at Elon, didn't have time to study abroad for a whole semester. So bam, I did for 8 years. Gotcha. But yeah, I think different countries, different states approach science completely differently. I really, a lot of the ways I think about marine conservation and marine management is rooted in the way that Australia does it, which is pretty incredible because they're have one of the largest marine protected areas in the world. And they really, I feel like if you talk about the average American and you talk about the ocean or coral reefs, they'll say, yeah, it's there. It's something, people like it. But if you talk to Australians about the Great Barrier Reef, it's intimately related back into their core, to their ethos. Every Australian thinks the Great Barrier Reef is one of the most amazing things in the entire world and are very, very proud of it. So I think the science is maybe more ingrained in some of their everyday life because it's something they care about so much. But yeah, I was so North Carolina, New Hampshire, now I'm in upstate New York, and I was in Philadelphia and Australia. I think we approach science differently, but maybe the overall goal of the overall intent is the same in terms of, thinking about how we can use science in tandem with science communication and increasing the wonder, the wow factor, and all those sorts of things to try to get people more engaged.
And looking at that education factor and going back to Elon too, you were a leadership fellow at Elon, right?
I was.
And can you talk about the leadership initiatives that you were involved in and what the fellowship program did for you? My roommate's a fellow too, so she loves it to
A
talk about
leadership fellow?
it. Yeah.
Oh, cool. The leadership fellow was a big part of why I went to Elon. I was going between Elon and another university, and I was unsure about which one I was going to go to. And I called the director of leadership and I said, "What are my chances of getting into this program? If I get into it, I'll come." And he sort of hinted that I had a good chance, so I chose Elon. And the first day of leadership, leadership fellows, they had all the different leadership fellows of the different years. And I went straight up to a senior and I said, "I heard you're a biology major." He said, "Yep." And I said, "Is it doable to do leadership fellows and a biology degree?" And he said, "It's gonna be hard." I don't know if your roommate's very busy, but we were very busy with our leadership program. But anyway, it happened. We did it. I was one of the only science leadership fellows in my year, but it was incredible. Leadership fellows did exactly what it was supposed to. We have one of the mottos at Elon of think globally, act locally. And I went for both. I went for global. And the leadership program really instilled this idea of how can we help the overall world? What are case studies? How can we apply things in a broader scale than just sort of what we're thinking about in a very small Elon bubble. And my parents really loved that I was a fellow. And when I graduated from college, everyone gets, do you still get a maple tree, a small maple tree? Yeah. Oh, no, sorry, no. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I'm an Elon
An
alumni.
oak,
I
yeah.
should know this. I'm so sorry. Oak sapling. Thank you very much. They gave me a little stress ball that was the world, like a globe. And they say, "We know you've been really stressed lately. Hope you can calm down. And here's the world. We hope you travel." And then I promptly said, "I'm moving to Australia for 4 years." And they were like, "What?" But one of the things that the leadership fellows did really incredibly was help us think about communication. It opened our eyes to diversity. We had some incredible field trips and talked about inequality and injustice. I know that DEIJ is something that's becoming really important now, and it's always been important, but I feel like my leadership fellows program was something that had us thinking about that and thinking about self-introspection and how we can help others right from the get-go. And the minor has been really incredible. I really liked it because there was a lot of how can I work on me to help others in terms of facilitation. One of the ways that I remember describing what a leader is, and it's a facilitator, which is someone who helps others make things easier, right? And to lead people. And I really like that. And in terms of leadership and group dynamics, I mean, you're going to deal with that for the rest of your life. I love telling people in interviews that I have a leadership minor, and they say, "What does that mean?" And it says, "Well, I'm really good at leading." And that's something that people are really looking for these days, and regardless of what career you're in. But yeah, we had a lot of different programs. But at the end of our leadership degree or program fellowship, we had to have a legacy project. Does your roommate have a legacy project?
She does. Hers is great. Hers is great. Hers is about going abroad as a student, like a first gen student and as a student of color and like all this guide and stuff. Hers is amazing.
That's much more impressive than mine. I created an orienteering course on campus. I was big into the ropes course, the challenge course. I was a challenge course coordinator for a year. I was on the lead team. Is that what's called, the lead team? And I created an orienteering course on South Campus, I think it's called. Where are the athletic fields? I can't remember what those are.
Yeah, I
So
think South Campus, right? Yeah.
yeah. But I really loved, I love the leadership program. I really liked how we thought about, I really thought how we thought about different communities. I liked how we talked and had open discussions and read and had thoughts about diversity, inclusion, justice, and inequality. I thought it was phenomenal. Group of people that I worked with, and they were, it was great coming to campus to a couple weeks early because I instantly had friends before orientation.
That's so nice. And you had such a heavy load too. I mean, looking at your majors, your minors, like leadership fellows, what did you do while you were at Elon to like combat the Stress, I mean, you made it. You know, what
Yeah, I took
did
summer classes every year.
you not?
The first year I did the adventures and second year I did the adventures in leadership, where I was like kind of like the camp counselor for the students who come and we go water rafting and things. And I took a summer English course where we went to Alaska for, as a part of Elon's curriculum. And the next year I took two physics classes, physics one and physics two in the summer. And I also took a course called Modern Summer Olympic Games, which was incredible, kind of one of my core courses at Elon. And it was fantastic. And then I did all my internships in the summer as well. So I didn't have each semester wasn't huge load. I wasn't taking the maximum credits because it's, well, I think when I took organic chemistry, I didn't take any other science classes because I was so worried about it and I wanted to do as well as possible. But I ended up having a lot, I had to do a lot of labs in my senior year, which was tough. And I didn't study abroad for an entire semester, so I had a little bit more leeway than other people. But what else did I do? I played a lot of tennis. I worked a lot. I didn't get to party very much. If I could go back to Elon and do it differently, I think I'd have more fun. I think the most, relaxing thing that I did one night was with friends. We snuck into McMichael into the big lecture hall and watched a movie night. Yeah.
That's extra fun. That's extra fun. I feel like I love a McMichael movie night. It's like a lock-in.
Yeah.
And
Exactly.
if you had any advice for students that are coming into Elon or just want to go on your career path, what would you say to them?
Good question. I would say yes to as many things as you possibly can. And volunteer for as many things as you possibly can. Not necessarily volunteering for free, but just saying yes to different opportunities. There's so many times in my life that I've said yes to something and had no idea how it would turn out. And some of the things that I've said yes to have turned out to be some of the most incredible opportunities in my life, like saying yes to going to Australia for what was supposed to be a year and a half, then turned into 4 years, then turned into 8 years. Or saying yes to helping someone in the field and realizing that was something that I wanted to do, a cool research topic, and working with them and volunteering. And then it turned out to become a scientific publication, something that I would never have gotten if I didn't say yes or to think about volunteering. Be nice. Most of the good science that I do and collaborations I have are because I think I'm a nice person and I'm friendly. And I try to put relationships and collaboration over science sometimes. And I think that, I think I'm pretty smart. I have a doctor, I'm a professor, but I think a lot of the reasons that people want to work with me is that they think I'm a nice person. And I think that that's probably pretty good. And we need more of those in science. I would also recommend a lot of science majors or people at Elon to learn about what you can do with your degree. So I feel like a lot of people, a lot of biology students or, I'm teaching environmental science at Skidmore, they don't really know what they can do with a biology or environmental science degree. And they're hesitant and maybe it makes them unsure what they want to do or maybe even drop the major. And one of the things that I like to do in my classes is try to spotlight the 10,000 different incredible careers you can have, medical school being one, teaching one, working with elephants being one, being a scuba diving instructor, whatever it is, there's this incredible amount of different careers that you can do with these degrees. And like some students just sort of get blinders on and just think, okay, I'll do biology and then I'm not sure what's going to do next because I can just do biology, but really it's pretty good. And one of the most important things that I think you remember is that I have my students remember is that you're getting the degree. One of the most important things you get out of college is a way of thinking and a way of working. And after college, you are incredibly independent. And you have this way of thinking like a scientist that no one else knows how to do. And you can apply that to different sorts of situations. And when you say yes to things and have these, internships or volunteer things or even just different courses, you're having these transformative experiences and you never know what experience or what course or what lecture is going to completely change your trajectory in life. I didn't know by just getting a scuba diving license that I would become a marine scientist that lived in Australia for 8 years or whatever it is, or doing a bioluminescence project my senior year would put me in the trajectory that I am now, that it's okay to bumble along and not know what you're going to do, but know what the options are, I think. And that's probably one of the reasons you do this podcast. Am I like connecting this correctly? I'm finally getting it. Like as we get to the end of the podcast, Dr. Chase is finally realizing why I'm talking about this with you.
I've interviewed seismologists and I've interviewed PR reps and book authors, and so we try to show the students that there's like so many things that you can do with your
Yeah.
degree. So
Well, I didn't take a single marine science class at Elon, and here I am, kicking butt and still doing marine and coral reef
and there's
sciences.
not many up for bat. I don't think other than wetlands, we don't have any really marine specific science classes right now.
Well, tell Dr. Izzo to bring me back and I'll give a lecture or come to alumni or something.
Yes. Thank you for letting us interview you.